So anyway, we're, we had an extensive discussion with our attorney about this thing. And basically, there's three people who expressed interest in it. And we've narrowed that down, and we're prepared to go ahead with a discussion about this. And I'd ask Mr. Hicks for a motion.
Like to make a motion that New York Thoroughbred Breeders be our promotional partner for 3 years with 2 one-year options to renew. And in that 3-year contract, we have a right to terminate without cause, giving 6 months' notice.
What is the amount of that contract?
Let's wait and get a second on it before we discuss it.
Second.
Bill?
Call the roll.
So.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
So it's unanimous on that. So what that means is that we're want to go ahead and ask NAJA or the NYTB to give us a presentation on what they're going to do and what their costs are projected to be.
Okay.
And we'd like to do that within about 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Can you hear me?
No, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I just, for the record, I just want to make it clear that there was an executive session, that the purpose was of the executive session was to discuss the bids that were submitted in the RFI process, that the board considered that there were 27 in the entities that had initially expressed interest in providing services, promotional services to the breeding fund, that in fact, of those 27, only 3 entities actually responded to the RFI process and provided information about their respective firms. One of those 3 was at NYTB, with whom we are obviously very familiar. The other 2 were entities that the board, after extensive discussion and deliberation, determined were not qualified bidders for an RFP process to provide promotional services to the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund. I just want to make sure that we made a record of that. That's what the board determined in executive session, and I just wanted it to be disclosed in the public meeting.
We need to name the other 2 in the minutes.
The other 2 entities that submitted was a group called Sholindia Miles Smith Company, and a group called Scopeccia. And after extensive deliberation and for different reasons, the board determined that these firms were not qualified to participate in an RFP process to provide promotional services to the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund.
So we do put them in the minutes.
Yeah, sure. It's there now.
Their names.
It's there.
Okay.
Okay. Any more comments on that issue? Okay, so Kim, you can give us a report on the budget status that we need to get done kind of early here.
Okay, so for the 2023 budget, revenue, I budgeted about $20 million. And how I looked at revenue, which is on the second page, I looked at it based on prior budget and what our rolling budget is, January to May actuals, and then our budget from June to December. Mm-hmm. And the rolling budget was coming in higher than what our budget was, and lower than what it was in prior years. So I looked at the ADW and I did a 10% decrease, thinking that handle was going to come up in the upcoming years. The breakage we're coming in lower than what we budgeted, the rolling budget. So I just took breakage and I just rounded it to what the rolling budget is looking like at this point. Handle, I did the same thing, just because what we budgeted is higher than what the rolling budget is. So I just took the rolling budget and did that for the 2023 year. VLT for Resorts World, the CPI is coming in really high, just due to inflation. So being on the conservative side, I'm gonna go with what the CPI was last year. So I'm budgeting that about 11.7 million. The VLT for Finger Lakes, that's coming in lower than what we were, so I'm just taking the rolling budget and rounding that.
Okay.
Same thing for the registration fees. On the breeder awards, those are the next couple of pages. I looked at the breeder awards, did the average between 2013 and 2022, backed out the few months that we had COVID. So for the breeder awards, I'm taking those average, the stallion. But then on the owner awards, that's looking really low compared to where we're at. So for stallion awards, I'm suggesting that we increase those, the 2019 awards, and increase that by 10%. So coming up with 2.4 million for owner awards. That's a little bit less than what the rolling budget is, and a little bit higher than the 2021. The next couple of pages after the awards, the next page is the admin expenses. And the only really changes compared to like the rolling budget and looking at prior years is the GASB 75, the post-retirement. I increased that by $100,000 just because last year we had a big adjustment when that audit came through.
How much was the adjustment, Kim?
It was a little over 100,000, probably like 150-ish.
Okay.
So I increased that about 100,000, and then that gets broken out 70% admin, 30% promo. Health insurance, I budgeted about 10% increase for active employees, and then for the retirees. Those were really the only major things on the admin side. Kind of same thing on the promo side. The GASB, because that gets 30% split. Health insurance. And then on the promo side, just allocating $150,000 of the promo budget to aftercare.
So, I don't know, looking at this whole thing, if you look at all the award categories and you look at our revenue, it looks to me like it's pretty flat. Like our revenue is not going up, but the awards certainly are going up. I mean, the Breeders' Awards alone are up considerably.
From the rolling budget?
Well, if we look at it from this year, year to date, and if we look at it over the last 5 years.
Right. So the Breeder Awards for the rolling budget for 2022 is looking at 10.9 million. 2021, it came in a little over 11 million. So I'm budgeting about 10 million, 10.5 million.
So the Breeders Awards are budgeted for about 400,000 less than last year.
Less than, yeah.
Correct.
Because looking at actuals, I mean, we're running low on the awards year to date. Not even monthly. For the month of June, what were we down? Like $300,000 in total for the awards.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've only had like this year experience, so if there's anything that you guys have information wise, I'm just going by the averages, and if there's anything information that you guys have to adjust anything. And then on the stallion, 2021 was a little over 2.5 million. The rolling budget's coming in 2.4, and then I have that at 2.5. And then owners, like I said, I mean, I increased 2019 by 10%, so it's coming in at 2.4. compared to the rolling budget, 2.5. 2021 was about 2.3. But I mean, I can adjust that. I just took 2019 pre-COVID, and then did a 10% increase.
Mm-hmm.
The two things that had the biggest impact on owner awards from like 5 years ago was when NYRA decided that to help out their smaller trainers, they would reduce first place purse money from 60% to 55%. So then the breeder award, what used to be 18% of what the purse was, now it's 16.5% of the first place purse money. So that had a that saved us money in over that period of time. And then the other thing is so many people, as we've discussed before, so many people breed to out-of-state stallions that the horses, you know, finishing first place are so often sired by a Kentucky sire or finished second Kentucky sire, and then there's no breeder, or there's a half breeder award. Instead of 15% breeder award, they're getting, or 30% rather, they're getting 15% for first. So those are the things that have kind of kept the lid on our awards, even as we try to get, you know, more foals on the ground. Bill Wilmot.
Comments slash questions on the budget. So big print, you're budgeting a decrease in breeder and owner awards for about $500,000. And that's on the cost side. On the revenue side, you're budgeting about $300,000 more. So that's an $800,000 gap, right? About right. And then when you look down at the bottom of the first page, 2023 budget, it shows that $800,000 there, that it's a overage, if you will. Now, my understanding is that the fund has to present essentially a zero budget, a balanced budget. So I don't see how we can.
So that $800,000, like I'll just go through and I'll allocate it to the awards. So kind of like Jill did it last year, showing what we're budgeting, we have the $800,000 left over, and then that would go in, kind of like as the supplemental, but budgeted, like in the award section.
But if you hand this in to whoever gets it.
Bill, I'm sorry, Bill, could you speak up? I am having trouble here.
Well, when this gets handed in to the budget people, it can't say
$800,000. There'll be zero, yep. So if everybody's okay with this, then I'll take that $800,000 and allocate it in the award section to make it a zero budget.
So, I'm sorry, where does it get allocated?
Like in the award section. Oh. So kind of like that's kind of like the supplemental kind of.
She zeroes it out by putting it on the budget document,
but again,
in different categories.
Like so in the award section.
Right,
like as additional awards.
It can't go as supplemental, right? Because
no, it'll just be like in the awards section. Like it won't say supplemental, it's just gonna be allocated.
So for example, the budget that actually goes in on the, let's say on the Breeders Awards, instead of saying 10.5, it'll reflect the 400. So that'll make it roughly 11 million, right? Is that right. What's good? Okay. We were criticized by the IG about our process, as Kyle pointed out, on how we selected our promo partner, and we've now implemented a remedy for that. So that's responding to the criticism. Another thing we were criticized for was our support of aftercare, and it's certainly the spirit of this group to support aftercare, but in terms of the letter of the law, I think we may be transgressing or inviting further criticism by actually putting in that line item 516, and particularly at that 150 level. And in addition, on the looking at the line items, this is on the very last page, which is promotional detail. We show a bump in our advertising promotional from 285 to 350, which is about a 30% bump, but we also show a 30% cut to our promo partner. Interestingly enough, we also are showing about a 20% bump in payroll expenses. So I just think that since the promo partner has been around 400, and we weren't criticized for the amount of the process, that we should have a discussion on the amount, particularly when we have bumps in the advertising promo and in salary and in the thoroughbred support and promo. It just seems like it's inviting criticism.
So the bump in the payroll expenses, that is mostly due to the GASB 75. Like if you look at the salaries, the rolling budget it is at 330,000. I'm only budgeting 328,000 for salaries. 2021 was a little bit higher in salaries just because we had the two comptrollers on and then the two field inspectors. But the payroll expenses, I mean.
Which means that we had three field inspectors at one time. Because
right.
We were training one while one was still on the job, so we had three at a time.
So the biggest bump in the payroll expenses is the GASB 75. And that's out of our control. That's an audit that we get done based on the actuarial expenses, on the post-retirement expenses.
Thank you for explaining that. But that still leaves the other two comments or things to discuss, which is the bump from 285 to 350, and then the thoroughbred support at 150. And I know that a number of us feel very strongly about supporting aftercare, but how do we address that with the IG? Kyle, are you still here? Do you have thoughts on that? Kyle's gone.
I'm still here. I'm still here, though.
Can I just add something? So on the promotional side, the advertising, I didn't budget anymore. So it was $500,000 that was budgeted last year and same $500,000 for this year. So if you look at the three green lines, the 513 advertising promotional, the 516, and then the 517, that's the 500,000 that was budgeted last year. I'm just allocating of that 500,000, the 150 to aftercare, and then leaving 350 to be between line 513 advertising promotional and then the 517 promotion line. So there's no decrease or bump up in advertising and promotion. It's just how it's being allocated.
The money that we spend with aftercare entities, I'm always careful to tell them we don't make donations. If you know, what we look at, and Bill, you know, you look at the end of the year, we see how many horses they take in, how many they give out, and at Patty's suggestion this year, we're finding out, like, when they have events coming up, what are you doing? Can we support that event? Therefore, we get more exposure, since we're doing it for promotion. The New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund gets more promotion with these people who are involved with equine aftercare, rescue, sanctuary. And this is an industry that's under attack. I think it's very important that the people who are in the aftercare industry in New York realize that the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund not only promotes racing and breeding, but also the respect for the horse throughout its life. So that's why at the last meeting, Bill, you were in, I think, also supported spending up to $150,000. It's always been felt like towards the end of the year, if we have another expense that bumps up against it, we have expenses for, let's say we've got three horses and Breeders' Cup races and we have to do more promotion for that, then if we have to come down from the 150, but at least it shows that we have a dedication to them and it's not waiting until the end of the year as in the past to see what is left over. And I think when we have the discussion with the NYTB promo party that we want to have, the discussion is, well, this is what we'd like to spend for 350. What can you do for us for 350? You know, maybe they make a case for 400,000, but doesn't that take place in the conversations over what's going to be done for us?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about Billy's talking about how much money you're putting into aftercare. We said it's 150,
right?
And it's always going to come out of the promotional budget because that's the only place we have it.
Right.
So you're talking about semantics here. We can't hang up a big sign and say, "Oh, well, we're giving this away for aftercare," because
we're spending money advertising.
We are constrained by the percentages and the categories where we can give away money. So if we put $150,000 out for aftercare, it's promotion.
Yes, that's where it is.
And that's what I'm trying to explain to everyone here. That's what it is. So I don't think we have a, I think we're talking in circles here.
Yeah.
It's the amount of money that we have available, and we have talked about a commitment to aftercare, although we can't call it aftercare, we have to call it promotion. So you know, I don't think there's any doubt that this board is thoroughly committed to aftercare. I know that I know everybody on the board is. So just to clarify what money we're talking about, it's all coming out of promotion.
But so, it still falls under the cap, right, Jill?
As long as we can stay under the cap. And the cap gets bumped up every year because we go to the legislature and say, okay, we need to spend the maximum on awards and everything. So it always comes up a little higher.
In this budget, the way it's laid out, the promo expenses take up 5.7%. So we were not
5.8%.
5.8, sorry.
The only budget's running at about 5.7.
So do you want a motion to accept the budget?
Well,
anybody
want to
make
that? I have some questions before we come to a vote. I was asked to do a presentation for the fund board, and NRTB is a promotional partner. Is that in lieu of this budget that's being...
No, that's for a meeting. That's a meeting with a promo committee where you'll do the presentation.
And with the promo committee in that meeting, is there a set budget, or is NRTB asked what can we provide for the scope of services that was asked in the RFI process, or is this a new process that's being asked?
No, it'll be, you know, for that process, and well, you know, can you do it for what we have budgeted? And then if you think you can't, then you make the case for more money. That we're doing the conversations in August. We have to file our budget in September. There's room to amend the budget if need be.
And with the acknowledgement from the fund from historical levels, since 2014 it's been budgeted at $400,000. Is that the expectation for the conversation for the meeting with the promo board or committee?
I couldn't hear the question and
not asked. Naja wants to know if going into the presentation with the promo committee for what he's going to do, what the NYTB will do for the fund, he wants to know, will the conversation revolve around the expectation that the budget will be $400,000 as it has been in the past, or will it be $350,000 as is shown in this budget?
I think based on where we're setting the budget at, this board is, if in fact this board establishes the budget as it's laid out right now, that the amount of money available would be at the 350 level. But I think it's all a negotiation. It's all depending on the level of services that are provided. And understanding that the budget can and has from time to time changed over time. So it's impossible to answer that question, Naja, other than to say that I think, you know, that negotiation is just that, it's a negotiation. So you should ask for whatever you think is appropriate given the level of services, and then the promo committee will then give a recommendation to the full board.
Why are we voting on the budget in advance of that?
Correct.
We have to vote on the budget to get it approved into the state by September 6th or something. And furthermore, we adjust these budgets all the time. All the time. A couple of years ago, we gave NYTB $100,000 at the end of the year. Three years ago. So it's really, you know, no one has a crystal ball, but no one's out to hurt anybody. Everybody's on the same page here. It's just a matter of what we have to get done and how we're going to do it. That's all it boils down to.
I would agree with that, but if we have 800,000 in supplemental figures, why can't we start at a starting point of where it's been since 2014?
Well, you last meeting, you wanted us to throw an additional $200,000 in purse enrichment. And we already provide $200,000 for the New York Stallion Stakes Series to NYRA after we see that we have what we traditionally refer to as supplemental. And really, the only place where we could possibly come up with that additional money you're asking, now it's $400,000, if maybe we can renegotiate with NYRA to say that money we provide for New York Stallion Stakes Series races comes out of the supplemental. And I don't know if there's a better name for it than supplemental.
That's a terrible word. Because
yeah.
A, you don't know what it is. B, it's nonspecific.
Right.
It's
like
and
unspent
we have all
funds.
All these percentages which we have to live within, so much for Breeders' Awards, so much for Stallion Awards, so much for administration, so much for percentage. And we can't really change those numbers. So, I mean, those are constraints. So you say it's supplemental. Well, supplemental, it's going to end up put into categories because where it'll fit is
yes,
when it
if
ends
we,
up.
If we have
how
a,
we administer
if we have it.
If we have it.
Yeah, I'm just want to get some clarity on if the cap is at 6% and Jill presented that we're not fully up to the cap yet, how is that number decreased for projecting for the promo partner for 2023?
Does the 6% accommodate the 400,000 that they've traditionally had?
Well, we only have 0.2% to get us up to the 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that again? I couldn't hear.
We only have 0.2% left to get us up to the 6%. Based on the revenue that I'm budgeting. That's only another $40,000 that I could add to the promotional budget to get us to the maximum of 6%.
Gotcha.
But that's to say that everything else that I budgeted is going to be on track.
Right.
And like Joe said, there's no crystal ball. You know what I mean? I'm just basing this on prior trends. I mean, you never know what's going to happen next year. So do we want to budget right at the 6% and have no cushion? It seems like an admin side. Like I budgeted that way below the 5%. We're at 4.1% for the admin side, just to give us that cushion.
No, I understand that, but there's also, you know, line item 513, advertising promotional, that has about a $64,000 spread as well. Like, why can't that also be, since it's all advertising for promotion for the fund? I don't understand the difference in those two items. Or is the promo partner also eligible to receive funding out of line item 513?
See, I just did the promotion at the $500,000, which is what it was budgeted in the past. So I didn't change anything on the promotion line. I just allocated it between those two lines based on prior conversations with the board.
Correct. I guess my general question would be, would the promo partner be able to get line item out of the 513 line item as well?
Naj, I think we've already answered that. We've said that we adjust this thing time and time again. This discussion is getting into where we should be talking about with you at the promotional meeting, which will be in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All we're simply asking for here is to approve the amount of money that we're going to spend next year. Nothing is written in stone. We do not ever, ever, ever go by writing in stone of anything. We have to adjust it because it's the nature of our business. We get our revenue and we cannot even forecast what that is because we never know. So, I mean, it's no different than it ever has been. So, I think that part of the discussion is a promotional thing. I think that's when you sit down with whoever's on the promotional committee, I think you air it then.
Correct, but
about
it's
how
no
much,
different
but you
than
can't.
It ever has been. Why is it being changed?
Because you have to have a number.
And
but
we didn't, and we
how
didn't
is
know.
That number
we and, excuse me, and Naja, we did not know you would be the winner of the process.
Correct.
So don't take
I'm
it personally.
I'm not talking about who's the winner of the process. I'm talking about as a member of the Finance and Audit Committee not being brought into these conversations, and I understand NYTB was part of our RFI process, which we welcomed, which we submitted a proposal, which we wanted to see the entire process. But as a member of the Finance and Audit Committee, when I'm now looking at a revised budget, that is well done, but I'm looking at basically two line items, or as Bill mentioned, we settled the aftercare, but you know, line items 513, advertising promotional, and whoever the promo partner was to be awarded at the time. You know, I have emails that were sent before those discussions. How are those two figures reached for 2023, where 513 sees a $60,000 bump and line item 518 sees a $50,000 decrease when it's all for advertising for the fund? Or is the promo partner also eligible to money that is allocated in line item 513?
Is there a way to construct the budget for purposes now where those two lines are just a general promotional line and let the promo committee flesh out how that shapes up between those?
Well, that's basically what happens anyway. I mean, that can go up or down.
Just saying.
And this is just the rolling budget that you're looking at, saying that there's that bump up. Like, we still have another 6 months left of advertising, and it could be, you know, more advertising coming through in August, because it's a heavy month. You know what I mean? So this is just the rolling budget from January to May actual, and then what Jill had budgeted from June to December. So that number is not the number, the end-all number at the end of the year.
Since we're budgeting, you know, slightly more revenue, about 300,000, and since this is apparently becoming a contentious issue, I'm suggesting that we continue the $400,000 level, and the things that are collected, which is promo advertising, because from that is where the thoroughbred support comes, and if that has to be less, it can. It just seems with the $300,000 increase, and with the 350 and 150 staying the same, it just seems, looking at it, that it's somewhat arbitrary to slash that 50. So that's my suggestion. That's a motion I make.
Bill, I just want to say, if we get a three, you're saying we're going to have a $300,000 increase in our promotional budget, or $300,000 increase in revenue to the fund?
No, just take the where it says advertising promotional 350, just make it 300 and put the 50 back in the promo part. And that way it will keep that as it was, and the other figure will be not that different. I understand what Kim said, that she reallocated the 350 and 150, but that it's still the same amount. But the promo one for the partner is down 50. So the thing is, that's paid on a, I think, quarterly or bi-monthly basis. Whereas the other, we decide as we go. And like you said, Tracy, if we've got a Derby horse or a Breeders' Cup horse, then we spend money. We always hold money back. And basically what we have left, we use for aftercare support in the way that we have to, even though the IG criticizes us for it. And I guess they'll just continue to do so. So anyway, that's what I'm suggesting. That's what I'm proposing. If anybody else wants to second that, they can. If not, we'll just stay.
So you're proposing, you're going to make a motion, do you want to change a line item? Do you want to change two line items, Bill?
Yeah, the 513 goes to 300, and 518 goes to 400. That's what I'm proposing. That means less money for the blood horse or the thoroughbred daily news.
I think I'm done.
The second, Joe.
So the second is Patty?
Yeah.
Made by Bill, and the second is Patty. Any discussion about this? Or have we discussed it?
Just point of order, Joe. This is getting awfully close to a point where, because the connection between this budget item and the MITP contract appears to be so closely aligned, obviously, that, you know, Naja should recuse himself.
Yes.
From voting on this.
Mm-hmm. Well taken.
Yeah.
So, do you want to vote on this issue then now? All in favor of supporting Bill's proposal, say aye. All
aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So the ayes have it, and we'll just change it on paper.
Joe said a minute ago is that we're all on the same team. And my opinion is it's somewhat contentious, and I think that we should remain hand-in-glove partners, NYTP and the fund. And for the sake of $50,000, we can make that happen.
We should put a note in the minutes that Naj
recused himself
on that vote. Okay. Next order of business is this, we've got a discussion of new and old business, which I think if we looked at the minutes from the last meeting, are you going to talk about that now?
Joe, you want to take a motion to approve the budget with the, with the change that those...
Right, I got ahead of myself, so...
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, John.
I'll make a motion. We accept the budget with the changes that Mr. Wilmot suggested.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes. The ayes have it. Any opposed? No. Okay. Tracy?
I mean, one piece of, well, what do you...
Well, we're up to new and old business, and under old business, we had in the minutes that...
Last, about the discussion about the stallion?
Discussion about the stallions, which is a pretty big dollar amount here that we need to talk about.
Well,
Naj, you want to bring us up to speed on where you are with Naira on that discussion?
Yeah, it's about, you know, continuing ongoing conversations between NYTHA, NYRA, and of course ourselves as the fund, how we can work to develop more stallion series races, ongoing discussion, and we'll proceed with those talks. Not really any major developmental updates so far, but we'll continue to sit down with both NYRA and NYTHA and hopefully come to an agreement where we can fund more stallion stakes series races to increase investment in stallions and, of course, bring more mares to the state of New York overall.
Do we need any kind of motion to ask Naja to request NYRA to revise that agreement we have with them, whereby they wait until they see if we have any money, unspent funds at the end of the year, and then we provide $200,000 for the New York Stallion Stakes Series. Now he's asking for another $200,000. We don't have it unless we take it or have it available from the New York Stallion Stakes Series. In 2019, when COVID hurt racing, hurt awards, hurt everything, we were fortunately able to pay out like 96% of awards that were owed. But we did not have any kind of supplemental, and NYRA lived up to its agreement, and it continued to fund the New York Stallion Series races, which I commend them for. I'm very grateful for. I mean, I hope that our revenues don't get interrupted in the future like that.
Well, is that, then you and Naj are talking about this thing, and you're going to report back to the board on your progress on this?
Naj, you want me to be part of the talks?
Certainly.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else under new or old business?
Just a question on the stallion stakes and the purse enrichment thing. If I remember correctly, one year we didn't have any extra money, so we couldn't give them any.
Right.
And they kept doing it anyway. And then another year we did have extra money, and we gave it to them. And so it does kind of tread on thin ice on that 60-40 thing. Not that we have to settle that here, but assuming we've got money at the end of the year and we want to help the Stallion Stakes Series, we're going to have to decide, does that money come out of extra money or promo money?
There is no, Bill, we're up to 5.8% on promo. There's no money there.
Yeah.
Maybe $40,000, maybe.
So then it's got to come out of,
if
the bigger lake has got to get some, or not. But it's something we're going to have to figure. I mean, personally, I want to support and enhance the Stallion Stakes Series, and just don't want to get Lisa Lee after us again.
Well, now she reports to someone above her. We've asked her to give us the detail behind the report she came up with, because I really questioned some of the conclusions she came up with, and she has not provided us with that. Kim I don't know if you spoke to her personally. I know you emailed her. Did you speak as well?
Yeah, she came to the office.
And I also spoke with her personally and said that we, first of all, if we're doing something wrong, we want to know what it is, and we'd like to be able to look at it. And a couple of things I just thought were just completely off base. So we have asked to get detail on that so we can look it over, and we will share with all of you.
Okay, any other old business? Any new business? Then I think we should ask for a motion to adjourn.
Unless, so moved.
Bill?
Second.
Second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, everybody.
Do you have refreshments?